So good to see you. God bless you for being here. What an exciting time we live in, and just the opportunity to share God's word. And it's a joy to be with you today. If you have your Bibles, let's turn them to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll move on. Today we're going to talk about staying new by surrendering. We also could say staying new in the dark times, in the dark times. Romans chapter 6, beginning with the first verse, and the word of God says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? And isn't it great to know that you are dead to sin and not dead in sin?" Amen. Now listen, verse 3 says, "Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for what a great day. Father, thank you for your word. God, we pray that you would just take this word and that you would just swell it up in us, God, that we would be the people that you have called us to be. And Father, that we would walk in the newness of life. Father, that we would walk in your newness. And we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's easy. It's easy to get discouraged in today's time. You see, we can turn on the TV or read the newspaper or even pull up the internet, and you can hear folks talking, and it's crazy. We get so discouraged. And in these times, we would even consider them dark times. It's all about the state of the world. Though, of course, I tell you, what bothers me the most is the lostness of men. The lack of transformed lives. Now, it seems that the Christian church is spending more time tending to the church than tending to the lostness of men. Now, I want you to understand that statement. It's not that I'm anti-church. I think I proved that last time. I love the local church. All right? But one thing I wanted to share with you this morning is do we spend more time on the church than we do on the church field? Do we spend more time figuring out what we need to do in this room or that room? Or do we spend more time thinking about church than we think about folks that are lost? Folks that are hurting. What do we give of ourselves? How do we give of ourselves? And some folks say, "Well, I don't know about that, Brother Brad." Well, I think it's true. Because all we have to do is ask ourselves, when was the last time we personally shared Jesus Christ and led him to the Lord? When was the last time that we took the time out of our day and went and shared Christ? And we wonder why the world is in the shape it's in. We wonder why we're in the dark hours. I want you to understand, only 5%, now I want you to get these percentages because they're just amazing to me. 5% of the United States tithes. 5%. With 80% of Americans only giving 2%. Now I want you to understand, 5% gives and only 80% of those give a max of 2%. Now while during the Great Depression, the average giving was 3.3%. During the Great Depression, the church gave more to the church than the church does even today. And let's just go a little further. Only 19% of the church reads its Bible. 19%. Only 61% have not told another person about how to become a Christian. 61% has not told. Now we understand, I know I grew up in Los Angeles and moved to Alabama, but that sort of leaves around 39%.
39% of us share Christ. Now, if you were to take away the pastors and the ministerial staff of that 39%, let's just say it leaves around 19 to 20% of the church population, that is those that are saved and bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, are sharing Christ. Now, why is it again the world's in the shape that it's in? Why in the world? How can we, in good conscience, complain about the state of the world when we're not even sharing Christ, when we're not even going, when we're not giving, when we're not gathering, we're not doing the things that God's called us to do? What do we expect? What do we expect? Many say, well, only Jesus can save this world. Well, I want you to understand something. I want you to hear me on this. He did. 2,000 years ago, he walked out of the tomb. He saved the world then. See, you and I are living in the finished works of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little example of what I'm talking about here. The finished works of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross and he walked out of the tomb. And from that point forward, you were healed. You were saved. You were forgiven. God, through Christ Jesus, did everything he needed to do for you at Calvary and as he walked out of the tomb. And so we are living in the finished works of Jesus Christ, meaning that we are walking not to victory, we are walking from victory. So that means we have a spring in our step, we have a word on our tongue, we have a song in our heart, and Jesus is on our mind from that point forward. We're not walking with our shoulders down, we're not walking with our heads down, we're not walking with a tear in our eye, we're walking from victory to glory, you understand? Are we living our life like we are living in the finished works of Jesus Christ? But yet we gather together and we need to be excited. How many of you, I'm excited to be in church today, amen? I'm doing everything I can not to run around the stage. I'm too heavy for that. It ain't got that much reinforcement. Huh? Just being able to gather together with other saints and just shout the name of Jesus is good enough for me. I'm going to tell you something. If you never had anything else happen in your life good, you're saved. Amen? Isn't that good enough for you? It's good enough for me. And like I said last night, somebody shared Jesus Christ with you. So now it's our time to go and share Jesus Christ with someone else. Someone took the time. Whether it been personally, one-on-one. My mother led me to Christ in a cemetery on the way to her aunt's funeral. She stopped in the procession, missed the funeral to lead her son to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right there. I want to tell you something. That takes a whole new theme of being from death to life. Amen? We've got to understand that we're living in the finished works of Jesus Christ, ready to share the gospel, ready to go. You see, we have to ask ourselves this one particular question. It's the question of a lifetime. What have you died to? What have you died to? See, Jesus Christ died for you. See, when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, we become alive. We're alive from the dead. We were in a dying state, and Jesus raised us up. We find that in verse 4. Listen to a few verses I want to share with you. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are a participant in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. There is exceedingly great joy in who Christ is in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, says we always carry around in us the body of the death of Christ so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in your body. Let me ask you a question. In your life and who you're living with and where you go, does people see that Jesus Christ is alive in you? Do you see it? Do they see it? When you look in the mirror, do you see someone that's broken down, or do you see a saved sinner that was saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, who's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to go and to share the gospel with everybody you come in contact with? Did Jesus walk up to somebody and say, You know, how's the weather today? No, he talked to him about himself, the kingdom of God. He just wanted folks to know him. The world's in a mess. We want to stay new in the dark times. And I think it's because, well, I know it's because we've stopped living under the blood of Jesus Christ. We are to look like Christ together. Together. You see, we have been planted together. That's what he says in verse 5. We've been planted together. Not only have we been planted together. Now, when he says the word planted, he says he means to be put together, fitted together. It's almost like a puzzle. Every part of us is part of a puzzle. And when we come together and we get ready to go and to share the gospel, we're put together. And every piece is important. From the end piece to the side piece to the middle piece, even that piece over there. You know, every time you get a puzzle, doesn't it always seem like there's a puzzle, piece of the puzzle missing? It's time for us to go get that piece of the puzzle. See, I firmly believe that God has people already ready to sit in these pews where there's no one sitting. I believe God knows their name. I believe he sees their face. You know, if we closed our eyes long enough and thought hard enough and allowed God to deal with us, he would show us that there's supposed to be someone sitting right there. Are we sensitive enough to know that God has folks that we need to go and share the gospel with? You see, not only are we planted together, we're purchased together. To be purchased, we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Together, it's not this group or that group or any other kind of group. It's God puts us together to share the gospel. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting for? You see, we have Jesus Christ living inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ought to be busting with this message to go share Jesus, to share him. See, not only are we planted together, purchased together, but we've got to prepare together. How do we prepare together? Oh, we read his word. We pray. We come together as a church. I've started this book, and it's called 2355. Because I want you to understand something. If you read the Bible 5 minutes a day, he'll change the other 2355. He'll change it. 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day. Would you be willing to sacrifice 5 minutes of your day to read the Word of God? See, we already understand that there's a large percentage of the Christian church that doesn't read the Bible. We're living in the finished works of Jesus Christ. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared to go and share the gospel, you see. But how do we give of ourselves? Now, there's no doubt that there were dark times, and there are dark times. But what do you do when those dark times come? How do we glorify God? How do we give of ourselves? How do we understand the lordship of Jesus Christ, the saving grace of God? You see, first of which, I want you to understand, there's just a few points here, and I want you to hang with me, okay? Hang with me. Dinner's waiting. We ain't got to go nowhere to dinner. Dinner's waiting. We're good. The roast is not going to burn today. Dark times reveal who we are. Dark times, first of which, reveal who we are. Now, there's a particular story in Matthew chapter 8, and it's, you know it. Jesus said, let's get in a boat, we're going to go to the other side. And so Jesus is in the boat, and the disciples are in the boat with him. And guess what Jesus is doing? You remember the story? Jesus went asleep. He was sleeping, okay? Jesus had peace, right? Amen, I'm so glad. All right, but here he is, he's asleep in the boat, and all of a sudden the Bible says they got in the midst of the sea, which meant the middle, okay, 3.5 miles out. And so here they are, And the waves and the wind start coming up over the boat, and the boat's filling up with water. And I love this picture. You know, when I read the Bible, I try to picture what's going on. And so here's Jesus. He's laying in the boat. He's asleep. He's total peace because he knows he's going to the other side. He's the Son of God. He's going, right? And so, but here's the disciples. And one of the disciples walks over to him and said, "Master, do you not care if we die?" Now, guys, wake your spouse up like that one morning and see what happens. Huh? And some of you are looking at your spouses going, "Don't you dare wake me up like that." All right? "Do you not care if we die?" See, here's the disciples, and they're in this boat, and it's about to sink. And you know, what did they think? This is it. We're going to die. We're going to die. They thought they were going to die. They said they were going to die. But in their darkest hours, what did they do? The waves covered the boat. This is it. We're dying. They were in their darkest hour. But see, they didn't understand something. They were with the Son of God. And so are you. Like I said last night, sounds a whole lot like church, doesn't it? We come to church and we gather together. We're ready. We're fired up. And then we hit a dark time and we go, "Jesus, where are you at?" He's right there. You see, he never left you. He's never going to let you down. He's always going to be with you. Even the Bible says, even until the end, he's with you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he's here. Do you understand? The power of the Holy Spirit is here right now. They were in their darkest hours, but Jesus was there. What do we do when we're in our darkest hours? Do we give more? Do we just give of ourselves? Do we surrender ourselves? You know, maybe that's why we're in the shape we're in today. Is that we retreat. We recluse. We get out of the way. Well, I don't think that's the way we ought to go. In our darkest hours, we got to read more. We got to pray more. You know, there's times that we pray and we don't know what to pray. The darkest hours are so dark. We're in so much pain. We're in so much hurt. We don't know what to pray anymore. I want to tell you something. Tell God, "God, I just don't know what to pray." Can you be honest with God this morning? He knows what you're thinking. He knows your heart. He knew your thoughts before you even thought of them. But would you be willing just to surrender your life to him? And in those dark hours, the waves are coming up over you and the boat's about to sink. And bless God, Jesus is right there. Don't give up. You're living in the finished works of Jesus Christ. You're not walking to victory. You're walking from it because you already have it. You see, those dark hours reveal who we are. Secondly of all, dark hours reveal how we worship. How we worship. In Acts chapter 16, there's this great story. We all know it. These are all very familiar stories to you this morning. Paul and Silas was put in prison. You remember the story. The Bible says they were put in the inner courts. That means they were put in the lowest, most center part of the prison. There was no windows. They were stripped of all their clothes, and they were chained together, and they were in there with a bunch of other folks. That's a pretty picture, amen? Now, I want you to understand, they can't see their hand before their face. They were in their dark hour. Now, they could have just went and said, "Well, had a pity party." Do you understand something? Pity parties are not godly. Amen or oh me. Pity parties, they don't do nothing but hurt yourself and others around you. If you feel like you need to be in a pity party, read your Bible. Read it. He'll cheer you up. You see, there's no one to blame. You cannot have a hee-haw moment and be in Jesus. You know what a hee-haw moment is? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. You younger folks, look that up online, okay? It's called hee-haw. Listen, there's not a bit of God in that. You hear me? There's not a bit of God in that. And but we love our pity parties. We love the gloom and despair of our lives because we get to talk to other folks about it. And then when we talk to other folks about it, you know what they say? Well, let me tell you what I'm going through, honey. There's not a bit of God in that. You're living in the finished works of Jesus Christ. It's time to have a spring in our step. It's time to be excited about what God's doing in our life. You see, Paul and Silas was in the darkest time. But what did they do? They praised the Lord. They started singing praises. Everybody around them started cussing at them. You better quit. You know how they responded in their darkest hour? They began to worship and they began to praise. They began to come together and the chains came off. The doors came open. The building was shaking. Folks got saved. I want you to understand, when you're in your darkest hour and you're willing just to understand that you're in the finished works of Jesus Christ, so you start worshiping Jesus, I want to tell you something. Lives change, not just yours, but everybody around you. Folks get saved because you have a spring in your step for a change, and God is in control of your life. It's time to start worshiping Jesus even in your darkest hour. Amen. But a lot of folks don't. Maybe that's the reason the world's the shape it's in. In Revelation chapter 1, John was exiled to the island of Patmos. He was sentenced there. It was where political prisoners were sent to fend for themselves. They weren't given anything. So here's John. He climbs up on the side of a mountain. It's not a real high mountain, but it's just an area where he found a cave where he would live out his days. I want you to understand, John was probably saying, that's it. It's over. I'm going to live out my days. I want to tell you something. The angel of the Lord made sure it wasn't over at that particular point. Okay? Well, this is it. He had to think, this is it. See, John was given a message, a vision and a message for us all. You see, in the Bible it says, where there's no vision, people perish. I want you to understand that word perish doesn't actually mean the word die. The word perish here means without a vision, my people are revealed. So if we don't have a vision to share the gospel and to go and to give of ourselves, it reveals who we really are in Christ Jesus. See, John was given a vision to give to you and I, and we've got that in the book of Revelation. In the dark hour, John, as it says in verse 10 of chapter 1, it says, I chose to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Every day belongs to God. Every day belongs to God. Would you be willing to choose to be in the Spirit every day? I want to show you this video, and I want you to really pay attention to it, okay? The landing gear's down. We're about done, so you hang on. Don't leave me. Maybe what's wrong with the Christian church today is we're not in the Spirit. You see, He sent His Son to the world 2,000 years ago plus to end the dark times. It's time to claim victory and walk from the finished works of Jesus Christ because you have victory and be alive in Christ. Sometimes we deny Christ. We deny Him. And it affects us greatly. You might not know it right now, but it affects us. I want you to see how it affected Peter.
Yeah, that's at least that's the way it was for me. Everything that whole night was a blur, all right? I didn't comprehend. None of us could comprehend everything that was going on, all right? We were all in the upper room. Jesus was washing our feet. Then we were in the garden. Jesus goes off to pray by himself. I fell asleep. I'm not proud of it. I had a big meal. Bread makes me sleepy. Next thing we know, me, James, and John, Jesus is in our face, and he's trying to wake us up, and he said, the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. And then before we know it, Judas is kissing Jesus on the cheek. I try to go help him. I cut off this guard's ear. For the record, I wasn't aiming for his ear. I'm a fisherman, not a swordsman. And then they arrest Jesus, and they take him off. And we ran. And it wasn't but 2 hours earlier that we were in the upper room. I was looking at him. I was looking him right in the eye, saying, if everyone disowns you, Jesus, I won't. I'm with you. I love you. And I think that's what made me stop, turn around, go back. And I caught a glimpse of Jesus as they were taking him to the high priest's house. He stood at the gate, and some girl comes up to me, starts pointing at me, starts going, you're with him. You're with this man that claims to be the Son of God. You're one of his disciples. I felt like every eye was on me. So I just brushed her off. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You got the wrong guy. I get my way into the courtyard, and it's cold. I try to warm up by the fire. And then there's this guard that recognizes me, and he is from the ear incident, you know, and starts going, get him, he's with him, just arrest him, get him. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, all right? I wasn't with him. It was easier the second time to deny him. It was sometime right before morning, and this wise guy, he comes up to me and goes, who are you kidding, all right? Who are you fooling? You're with him. I can tell by your accent. I'm like, this is just the way I talk, all right? And the whole night, they kept pushing him around. They kept beating him. They kept spitting on him, throwing insults at him. And I couldn't take it anymore. I had enough. I was tired of people accusing me, looking at me. And I said a few things that I'm not proud of, but I was like, leave him alone. You don't know what you're doing, all right? Just leave him alone. I wasn't with him. And that's when I heard the most blood-curdling sound I ever heard in my whole life. I heard that rooster crow. And at that moment, Jesus, he turns around and he looks at me. He looks at me. And his gaze, you can't escape his gaze. I mean, when his eyes are on you, you cannot escape it. And they arrested him and they took him off. I will die with you, Jesus. If everybody disowns you, I will die with you. What a joke. I mean, what would you do? At that moment, at that time, I ran. I ran so fast, I ran so long. And you know what they did? They killed him. He's dead.
In our dark times, in our dark times, do we deny Jesus? In our dark times, is there something in our life that we've just not surrendered to him? Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to give of yourselves and not for yourself? Now, Peter, he had a dark time. Is the rooster about to crow in your life for the third time? See, even in your dark times, Jesus can take over. Later, Peter had the opportunity to preach, and
and thousands of folks got saved. And listen, I don't know what you're going through in your life right now. That's between you and God. But what gets me the most, I guess what hurts me the most, is that we're willing to walk out of here without Him. That we're willing to let folks walk in and out of our lives without Him. And we don't give of ourselves like Jesus gave of Himself. Listen, if we're truly blood-bought children of God, then we'll give of ourselves as Christ gave of Himself. And I don't know what we're waiting on. I don't know what's holding us back. And it might very well be your dark time. And here in just a moment, we're going to sing. And if listen, not taking anything away from music, but if there's not a soul in this place that sings this song, but you'd be willing to pray, that you'd be willing to pray to get out of your dark time, that you'd be willing to pray for someone that is in their dark time. Last night we prayed and we pleaded the blood of Jesus Christ over those in our lives that are lost. I want to tell you something. You might be going through the dark times of your life. You might know somebody that's in the dark times of their life. I'm going to ask you if you'd just slip out and kneel at this altar. Would you pray for those? If you're in a dark time, don't let the rooster crow another time. Are we willing to give of ourselves as Christ did? See, folks are dying and going to hell. And we're not willing to share Jesus. As I told you last night, I surrendered to the Lord late in life. God called me into the ministry at a very young age. Young age. But I ran from God. Connie and I tell you, she prayed for me the whole time. But I ran from God. And you know what breaks my heart about those 10 years that I didn't surrender like I should? Those 10 years. Folks died and went to hell because I refused to answer the call of God. And I'll do everything I can. Everything I can, every day I can, to share the name of Jesus. Are we willing to give of ourselves and not for ourselves? Someone is in their darkest hour. Would you be willing to come? Would you be willing to go to somebody and say, "Can I pray with you right now?" We ought to be moving around and praying for folks. We ought to be praying. We ought to be in this altar. I'm going to tell you something. You are living in the finished works of Jesus Christ. He's already saved the world. Let's take Him to the world for saving. Let's give of ourselves. Are you in your darkest hour? You come. Brother's going to lead us in a song. But you come. If you don't want to sing, you want to pray, pray. Take this time just to, as we did last night, plead the blood of Jesus Christ, because people are counting on you to take this message to a lost and dying world. Would you give of yourselves today? I ask the leaders to come. You come. Kneel at this altar. Pray with somebody. Do it. Because they're counting on you to do it.